You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 22nd, 2015, and oh my God, it's another episode.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborn.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. Speaking of conversations, George, what's a fighting game?
That is where two people duke it out and one of them wins.
Okay. Do they use Yu-Gi-Oh cards for this?
They actually use Naruto cards. Thank you very much.
So, as we record this, Evo is happening, and we're doing
Like, Dr. Doom is fighting MODOK
room. The once-a-year thing, actually, this happens all times of year, but I mean, this is the big fighting game tournament of the year, and like the filthy casuals we are, this is when we pay most attention to fighting games.
Easy.
And because we only pay attention to fighting games maybe once or twice a year...
It's like Christmas
for
fighting game fans.
We're kind of like people who are religious but only go to church on Easter.
So basically my family growing up.
Basically most people's family. And because we only view it and pay attention to it a couple times a year, we find ourselves trying to relearn a lot of stuff about fighting games. And we thought that would be a good jumping off point to talk about the role of commentators in competitive games, and also on a broader level, how do you explain a video game to someone, A, as it's happening, and B, just generally? Like, what is going on in this video game, and how best to do that?
Right, exactly. I feel like we should talk about shoutcasters first.
Okay.
Because for Evo, those are basically your primary source of information.
Yes.
That is how you're going to get what is happening on the screen at any given time.
My primary source of information is the Twitch chat.
Okay, so that's a serious
Apparently,
question.
Apparently, I'm salty as fuck.
I mean, is that... do you actually find chat helpful? Because one of the things I was thinking about was, what would it look like if Evo got rid of its shoutcasters? Could you crowdsource shoutcasting? Could you digitize it? Like...
Read off inputs, like...
Yeah, sure. Like, could you... So, for example, I read an article quite a while ago about those news articles that you see that recap sports games, especially minor league sports games.
Like, procedurally generated news. Yeah.
So, there are computer programs, if you didn't know this, that get that data and write a write-up, as though it were human, of the results of the game. And they even throw in, like, buzzwords like... Oh, it was a killer swing and you know, adjectives like that to describe what is essentially a regurgitation of facts.
Well, it's kind of like if the computer sees that it's like more than a 3-run deficit, it's like decisive instead of like narrowly, like swap words in
exactly.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
So someone makes that program, right? And I haven't seen any viewing experience that is as... informational, I guess, or as fulfilling of the role of a shoutcaster in a video game.
Mm.
But because you're right, it is just inputs.
Yeah.
You could theoretically have someone shoutcast a game with better accuracy than maybe even a human. I mean, they could see things that a human might otherwise miss.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in fucking a crazy shit show that is Marvel vs. Capcom.
That's true. Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see, because all those are after the fact. It'd be interesting to see, like, a box score. You know how you can, like, read the actual box scores of baseball? Like, the ball was hit here, and then this person advanced to second base. And on a 3-2 pitch, then this person fouled out. Like, it would be interesting to see what that stream of madness would look like, I think, from... And because that would give you an idea
You kind of see it on screen when it's, like, the number of hits they're taking and their life tracker and stuff.
Yeah, and especially with some of the games have... you know, more color to them, like, you know, they'll even say something like excellent or, you know, outstanding combo, which is like, it's even more than just the raw numbers.
Or counter, right?
Yeah, counter,
where it's like
the
types of guards that you do, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in these types of fighting games, it seems like blocking is such a big deal,
mm-hmm.
and like being able to describe how someone is reading someone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the problem with the digitalized idea, I guess, would be that you'd have to program in the meta. Because so much of what's interesting to me is, yeah. oh, they did something that is against the meta. Like, mm-hmm. oh, they did a maneuver that you wouldn't expect, yes. right? Like, I think I was watching Melee yesterday, and someone was playing Sheik and did some weird maneuver that was really strange, because normally in that scenario, it's a really big risk.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew that the person playing against Sheik saw, like, they never expect that yeah. person to take the risk.
Exactly.
So therefore, the risk was worth it in this case.
It's a classic, like, mix-up where it's like, okay, like, theoretically, I should only ever do the up smash here, but I'm going to mess around because I know they're expecting the up smash, and therefore, like, I'll counteract their expectation.
Right.
Which is would be harder to describe by... I mean, and I think that's... We're getting back to the point of why you have color commentators. Because that's what it is. I mean, you are adding context to it rather than just reading off a list of things that have happened.
I mean, if you're a good shoutcaster, though.
If you're a good shoutcaster. What makes a good shoutcaster?
I think that there's a
also,
lot...
Also, wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
Is it significant that we call them shoutcasters?
Is it? I don't know. What are the other... Commentators is the other word,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Well, the commentators, I would think, comes from the world of, like, boxing and stuff, right?
I mean, I guess any sport, yeah.
Whereas shoutcasting, I feel like, is a necessarily esports term, yeah. right? Like, it's something used in League of Legends and
I have a feeling that the
StarCraft.
Word shoutcaster might actually come from a piece of software.
Really?
I can't put my finger on it, but I feel like...
Welcome to Shoutcast 97.
No, it was like, Shoutcast was one of the... spectator programs written at some point or something like mm-hmm. that. And I don't know. I don't know that
people's
for a fact.
People's moms started deleting it from their computer because they didn't know what it was.
Right, again, like this could be from the LimeWire era of computing or something, but like I just have this thing stuck in my head that maybe there was some technical reason why it was called that, but like the semantic reason I think is interesting because there's just kind of a lot of yelling.
They are shouting. Yeah, I mean, League of Legends is an interesting one because there are two separate roles. There's an analyst desk. And this is true of probably general sports.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, that's where you'd have, like, Terry Bradshaw and Jimmy Johnson
yeah,
stuff
and
like that.
They talk,
yeah.
you know, they create, like, those miniaturized football fields yeah. that I find so awkward. There's the analyst desks, and then there are the shoutcasters.
Mm.
In the fighting game scene, at least as far as I understand, it's mostly the same role.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are shoutcasting are also trying to analyze
yeah.
the match. You always see them in groups of two,
mm-hmm.
and it's always smart to have a group, right? Because someone's going to miss something. It's also probably fucking exhausting to
yes.
be shoutcasting,
yeah.
especially like an all-day event or many hours worth of content.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you can separate those roles to some extent. If you've got someone who's an expert analyst, then they're providing information about, you know, the strategy, the meta, the context, the mechanics of what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when we say something like shoutcasters, it's what you describe as color commentary, right? Like I personally want a good deal of humor. I want people to joke around. There's a level of, and you've described this as the case in fighting games before, but the sort of drama that you get with like professional wrestling.
Mm.
Like there are people who know each other and have a long history in it, and they sort of shit talk and stuff. If there was a money match the night before, and like Leffen is super salty still,
mm-hmm.
I want to know, and the only way I can know that is from somebody who's humorously commenting on the sort of scene, generally speaking.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, in the MOBA scene, I feel like it's much more sophisticated because of, like, what you say. They actually have a division between the people who are at the desk doing the larger scale analysis and the
yep.
people doing the moment by moment.
And there are better analysts than others and better shoutcasters than others in those scenes, too.
Do people ever go back and forth? Like, do they ever go from the desk to the floor?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, it depends. Mostly not,
mm.
because I think... You know, the more practice you get in one, the better you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they certainly make an appearance back and forth. It's just not super common.
Mm.
But, you know, there are people, at least in the MOBA esports, at least for League of Legends, that are really well known as like, oh, this guy's a really good shoutcaster.
Mm.
Or they'll bring on a new person for a season and people will be like, oh, I don't know, they're not very good. And they'll sort of slowly find their legs.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that there's some controversy, and I'd be interested to hear your opinion on this too, but whether or not they should actually be providing any sort of judgment
mm.
on the skill or play level.
Yeah.
Like, because I've seen some shoutcasters who just, you know, shout the facts.
Just
they're
the facts,
just describing,
yeah.
like, he did this, he did that.
Mm.
Some people go, that's a mistake. He shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Well, I think in regular physical sports, that's the difference between, like, like classic duos, like Pat Summerall and John Madden. Pat Summerall was the person who did more of the play-by-play, and that's what they call it. They call it play, like, you know, Steve Young passed Jerry Rice for X number of yards.
Yep.
And John Madden was the color commentator who was like, oh, well, you can see that the defender made a mistake here, and he gave up 5 extra yards, and like that's where you get mad and drawn circles and X's, yeah. Boom, like all that type of stuff. I mean, and so there's always this one guy is supposed to play it a little bit more straight, and the other person doesn't have to do the play-by-play, but is probably so
it's like good cop, bad cop for the field.
Well, and a lot of it is like civilian and ex-player.
Oh yeah, I see. And so the former player is the one providing the mistakes.
Usually, stuff? The former player is the one that does color commentary.
Okay.
And that's not to say that's always the case. Like Pat Summerall played in the NFL, but like Al Michaels didn't. Mm-hmm. Like Al Michaels, I mean, he does commentary for a lot of different things, which I actually think is interesting.
You mean more than one sport?
Oh yeah, Al Michaels has done.
That's so weird.
Al Michaels was the one who said, "Do you believe in miracles?" for the when the U.S. beat Russia in the Olympic hockey.
Oh, rank. Really?
Yeah, and he also does football. He does a bunch of other things. Like Chris Collinsworth did the Olympics. I don't know fucking why they let him do the Olympics, but they did it anyway.
All of the Olympics? Don't they have? They have special commentators for gymnastics and things like
for
that.
For the prime time things, okay. they would have Chris Collinsworth on it. But I mean, like so. But usually, yes, there is one person who is more of almost like a news anchor type person. Mm. And then there's a person who is like, you know, like John Madden, he's a Hall of Fame coach or something. Right. Or like Jeff Van Gundy, who's also going to be a Hall of Fame coach for the basketball, for NBA. And those people are more, they're given more of a free rein to like weigh in with judgment.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a straight man, funny man type thing where it's like the person who's doing the play-by-play will say like, John, like, did that make any sense? And to set them
he's
up
like, no,
for like,
no, yeah, that exactly. Make any sense.
Yeah. And so
he tried to kick the ball with his feet.
And so I think, I don't know how I went down this rabbit hole, but the point is like, there is specialization,
yeah.
But, I think there's an understanding that there will be a variety of, kind of involvement with the sport. Like some yeah. people will be ex-players or something and yeah. other people will be like, okay, I'm more of a broadcaster.
I mean, hell, there are people in esports who are better shoutcasters than they were at, you know, esports athletes.
I mean, that's how it was yeah. in sports. I mean, like a lot of the sports commentators, you know, they had a couple years in the league. They're never going to the Hall of Fame, but they can put together a nice sentence so they have like this whole second career, you
they
know?
Can enunciate their words.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What's with that dude with the lisp though in football? Who's that guy? There's a guy with like a strong lisp. I think he's on like Good Morning America now.
Oh, Michael Strahan?
Yeah, what's his deal?
I mean, he's good looking, and even though he has a funny speech pattern, he's understandable. and he's like one of the best football players of all time.
Okay, all right.
Plus, he took over Regis's position on Live and Regis.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's the one with the gap in his teeth, right? Yeah. That's probably insured for like $1 billion.
Most likely, yeah. Yep. He was the one that has
his teeth ever miraculously closed.
I think he still has the single season sack record. I mean, like he's just an incredibly good player that also happens to be able to have a good on camera yeah. presence.
I mean, that's the divide there, right? Is like, and this is probably why it's so very hard to find good shoutcasters yeah. in esports in particular, because the pool that you're taking from is relatively small,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be both super knowledgeable about the game and, yep. you know, sorry to say this, but people who are obsessive about games to the point of extreme knowledge aren't necessarily the most charismatic individuals as
well. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, and we should say, it's the same thing for regular sports too. Like, you put a microphone in front of most of those guys out there, any sport, they'll be like, just taking it one game yeah. at a time.
I'm just here not to get fined.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's like, 99% of those guys can't do that, but you know, the guys that can have this like second career basically after yeah. they're done.
Yep. The people that I really like in esports tend to be like the funny ones, but also those who can think really fast
mm.
and like speak really fast, because a lot of the most extreme action will take place in, you know, what, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So you need to not only be able to enunciate your words, but to quickly analyze what's happening and provide color commentary on the fly is so difficult.
Mm.
There's this very, like a really funny and sort of famous video of this guy Rivington, who he shoutcasts for League of Legends matches in North America, or maybe it's Europe. I think it's North America. Mm. And, it's him playing League and shoutcasting his own game while he plays.
That's really funny.
It is so good. And he makes like pun jokes based upon the like abilities of others, and he's like, oh, I'm going for the gale. Nope, it goes to, you know, it goes to Nautilus, and, yeah. he's talking super fast and playing really well.
Yeah.
It's so impressive. It's sort of, it's mind-boggling that people can be that good at it.
Yeah.
That being said, it's also interesting to me that they have to walk this fine line between being entertaining for the people who know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time being informative for people who are new to that series.
Yeah. Right? Or people that just don't, you know, people that aren't obsessive with the series.
Right.
Like, I know, generally speaking, what's going on in Smash Brothers, but right. even sometimes they'll even start throwing out terminology. I'm like, yeah. I have no clue what that means.
Well, I mean, that's a good one, right? So this year they allowed custom fighters.
Yeah.
So the amount of terminologies that were being thrown out about even characters that I'm like, I main, yeah. I still didn't understand.
Yeah.
Which is really difficult because that's when you cannot read it. Until that spell comes out, you yep. won't know that it's any different.
Yeah.
So you won't know what threat, say, a custom Rosalina provides versus, mm-hmm. say, a non-custom or default Rosalina. Those are matches that are really difficult to shoutcast in terms of being informative to even people who are generally familiar with the sport.
Yeah. I think that the... Generally speaking, I was going to start ragging on a bunch of commentators for video games, but then I thought to myself, like, well... Okay, let's be a little bit more fair. Like, this hasn't... There's not, like, an institution around it. Like, I don't think there's any, like, best practices or, like, you know, here's how to do it yeah. well versus how not to do it well.
My understanding is until even, like, this year or last year, Evo's been... anyone can shoutcast.
Yeah.
You sort of just sign up and come on up.
Well, and also, there's, like, up until the streaming era, a much, much smaller number of people even listened. Right. You know, because it's, like, after, you know, the last few years... the whole competitive esports scene has really blown up because of streaming.
Yep.
And so we only have like, you know, a few years of like mass audiences with it. And then after that, we have a few decades of, you know, I don't know, thousands of people or whatever in a room at the same time in the US anyway. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see what it's like in Korea, people who do StarCraft stuff, because, you know, they're putting together what 30,000 people in a room or something yep, like that. Yeah. I mean, like, they have to treat it like a sport.
Well, and that institution is there longer. Like, yeah. I've seen videos from Korea that are like, it's like a morning talk show
yeah.
all about League of Legends,
yep.
and they have like, they have elaborate sets and elaborate camera tricks
yeah.
and like CG and stuff. It's nuts.
Yeah, because I mean, the criticism that I always have of video game shoutcast folks is that there's not as much of a separation between like the kind of joking around culture that you and your buddies have when you're watching a TV show
mm-hmm.
versus someone who's trying to kind of come at the sport in a little bit more of a clinical matter.
Mm.
Like there's a bunch of people like just making jokes like, oh, here's what he's saying. He's saying, oh no, you didn't right there. Oh no. It's like,
yeah.
that's not telling me anything about the match.
It should be pretty funny though.
Yeah. I mean, it could be funny, but it's like, at this point, I actually want to know what's going on. And yeah. he's not saying that. It's like, there's so many people who's like, he's literally saying, get out of here. It's like, no, that guy has his headphones in and he's silent.
Yeah.
Like he's
yeah.
not literally saying that. Like, yeah. can you please tell me like what is going on here? And like, the point is that they can't because A, I don't think there's like a, solid enough set of best practices for what you should say and when.
Yep,
and terminology. Like,
yeah.
people are using the same... people are describing the same thing and using three different words to describe it.
Yep.
And finally, there's not the sense that that you can kind of be judicious about what you talk about. Like, especially in the Smash... shoutcasters, they try to, a lot of times they get into this trap of describing every single move, and
yep.
it's like, you don't really need to describe every single move, you need to describe the flow of the battle.
Right.
It's like, okay, what is happening here? Oh, he's trying to edge guard right now. It's not
yeah,
like
he's pressuring off the map, or yeah,
there's so many times where it's like, you know, down tilt to F air to up smash, and it's like, I don't need to know every single one of those because I can see that.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
like you need to tell me like what is going on from a strategic perspective.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the constant shouting of like, oh my god, Nair, and, mm-hmm. and yeah, sure, yeah, I could see that.
I mean, like, if you look at any other sport, like, that never happens.
Yeah.
Ever, you know?
I mean, I think, there, to some extent, too, I think that there's a sense that because it's not... It's hard, because I think that some people really enjoy that type of commentary
yeah.
because it's passionate.
Yeah.
And because they're passionate, when something crazy happens,
mm.
they, like, the shoutcasters will stand up and throw their shit in the air. yeah. Oh my god,
yeah.
I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
That level of excitement is palpable and really cool to have on stage, right? But at the same time, if you let that sort of overwhelm you, then every time something cool happens, you're shitting yourself instead of describing why that thing is cool in this context.
Well, there's also this thread of, you know, methinks the shoutcaster doth shout too much, where it's like, I know, it's like, there's also some pressure to kind of legitimize and make every Evo the best Evo.
Yeah.
And so you need drama in order for that to happen. And so, like, yeah, not everything is like throw your headphones worthy, but that has to happen every year anyway, because they have to make it exciting.
I mean, it does happen. There are really exciting moments, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I mean, this year's Melee finals were, I mean, you know, Armada beat Hungrybox quite easily. I mean,
that was Fox versus Jigglypuff.
Yeah. And it nothing really that dramatic happened in the finals, but like there was a couple dramatic things that happened in the lead up, but nowhere near as crazy as years past.
Right.
You know, the Daigo pairing 17 moves in a row, like, happens, like, once a decade. You know? It's the same thing. You know, the Giants win the pennant happens once every 100 years. Like, you know, like, not everything is crazy. For another 100
years. I mean, here first.
Yeah. So, I'm sympathetic to it, but I think that there's a certain level of maturity that I seek in some of these things that I don't really get. But I also think that a lot of it is just the fighting game community is culturally a more hype focused community.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's
hype is real.
I mean, yeah. Well, and there's also things like, you know, commentators will say that exact thing. Like, oh, the dodge is real. It's like, what does that tell me about the match?
Yeah.
Like, that the dodges are real? Like, what am I supposed to get out of that?
There's also, I think, a cultural difference, or maybe just a experiential difference, from shoutcasting a two-player competitive game versus a team-based game.
Yeah,
like, you can listen to people describing boxing, right? And it sounds a lot like fighting games. I mean, there's, like, jab, jab, upper hook. You know what I mean? They're describing the mechanical inputs in this scenario, as well as some of the base strategy of, oh, he has him up against the ropes, and, oh, my God, it looks terrible, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas you hear someone, you know, commentate a football game or a soccer match, right, where it's a team-based game, a lot of it is just general movements. I mean, you hear, like, oh, you know, so-and-so passes to so-and-so who passes to so-and-so, but a lot of it is just, like, describing, you know, how the team's been doing over a period of time or whatever, because there's a little bit more complexity in terms of how the players interacting with one another, right? Like, that's just a different chunk of content you can describe that you cannot describe in a single-player experience.
The other thing that the reason why I always gravitate more towards the, like, let's comment on the strategy versus the, like, moment-to-moment punches is because, to be fair to all the people doing the video game stuff, like you actually pointed out, it's way more of a, like, one-man, one-woman show, whereas you see, like, you know, Al Michaels, he has a huge staff of, like, statisticians and producers and, you know, lackeys to, like, they put together stories for these people to read on the air. Like, they're not coming up with it, like, off the top of their heads.
That's true. They got, like, a team of writers and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like they, you know, they're able to say, okay, well, if you have downtime, we have this good story for this guy who came up through college and he had a hard life or whatever. Like,
by the way, it's like every other professional athlete.
It is true, but I mean, it's also entertainment. But the thing is, we have that in video games. It's just that we don't have the staff that is able to prepare the broadcasters.
That's true.
You know, they need to do everything themselves. So, like, not only do they need to, because, like, half the time someone will say, like, okay, I think the ladder is this, and Leffen and Admiral, and, like, and it's like, no, dude, like, that's completely wrong. Have you not been paying attention? And it's like, oh, no, wait, you have been paying attention, but you have to pay attention to every single thing.
Yeah,
like, you don't have producers.
It was funny because, you know, they were like, we're reading you the bracket, but it's, like, hastily written down with pencil.
Yeah.
And it's, like, bad handwriting on, like, a piece of scrap paper.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And so it's like they just don't have those resources. And so I would be interested in having someone who does, having a three-person panel, but one person is just there to prep material.
Yeah. I'll take that job. I think shoutcasting would be really difficult, but I would take that sort of research job.
Because, I mean, as we saw from the Smash Brothers documentary, like, all these people have interesting stories behind them.
Yeah.
And that's why like, broadcast sports are so cool, because, you know, there's a lot of downtime in sports. There's a lot of time to talk about people's hard knock lives coming up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what makes things interesting rather than just describing the inputs of the sport.
Right.
And these guys just don't have the, luxury of a team of producers, basically, that, you know, is going to put something together.
How do you feel about the way that Dota 2, for at least I think for some of the tournaments, have a noob stream versus a non-noob stream?
I mean, I think Valve and Riot are in the best position to do something the way that, like, Fox or NBC does it.
Right.
Because they just have endless amounts of money.
Yeah. I mean, Valve, unfortunately, doesn't spend that much on, like, paying their shoutcasters. I think it's still an all-volunteer workforce.
I mean, that... But what they have is... Which is dumb. They should pay people to actually do it. But what they have is the money...
People should be paid.
Yeah, people should be paid. But what they have is, in terms of money, is a way to have multiple streams going. They have, like, the best client in the world for streaming. Like, I mean, they...
Well, and they have a huge fan base where you could find people to stream with that in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. And they have the resources that allow for the diversity, whereas if you're doing a smaller tournament, it's like you're going to have one broadcast.
Yep.
You know, you just have to make do with what you have. But yeah, I mean, I think having that, if you have a large enough audience that's, like, rabid enough for it, then that makes a lot of sense, and you can kind of graduate up. Yeah. I've watched one or two of those matches, and it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they actually describe who the characters are.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, they're not using a bunch of, well, they still are, but they're not using, like, a huge amount of acronyms and, like, slang terms and stuff like that.
And that base information is sort of what you need, right?
Yeah.
Like, we were joking about how to describe the game, but if someone can sit there and listen to just the rules, they'll already have enough to watch and entertain themselves.
Yeah. Well, which is why I think fighting games are always a good entry point for people, because...
For esports entry, you mean?
Yeah, because it's like, okay, there's a dude on the left and a dude on the right, and they're going to punch each other until one falls down.
You and know, that color, like, when it's red, it's bad.
Yeah.
When it's yellow or green or blue, it's good.
Exactly. So you have this thing that is a much simpler game, kind of like... you know, kind of like basketball or soccer, where it's like, hey, if the ball goes in there, it's a good thing. You know, it's not like football, where there's, like, way more arcane rules, you know, like, and so you can get people ramped up to the tactics way faster. Whereas, like, something like League or Dota, like, there needs to be a gradual incline into that stuff. Cause like, it's just like jumping into ice water if you don't know what's going on.
Yep. If you could shoutcast one, like, video game, or, like, sport or genre or whatever, what would you shoutcast?
I think it would be fascinating to shoutcast Spelunky.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be fascinating.
Well, on that point, I was going to say, I think it would be really fun to shoutcast speedruns.
Oh,
just generally,
yeah.
Generally, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Spelunky is a good one, but I was watching one of the brothers McElroy from Polygon speedrun Gone Home.
Oh, man.
Right? And, like, that's actually really fun to explain, like, oh, right here is a glitch, and go, oh, you know, because you can, if you're familiar with it, you notice things that other players don't. Where you can go, oh, you know what? He cut that corner a little bit too wide.
Mm-hmm.
That's a second off his time.
It's kind of like when you're watching the Olympics and, like, you're watching something like diving or something, and, like,
that splash was 2 inches.
Yeah,
too
exactly.
High,
yeah, there's, like, they're, like, 1 inch off, and they're like, oh, huge mistake, huge mistake.
You just don't want to see that.
Yeah, and it's like, that looked like a godlike maneuver.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's like a graceful fall. That, like, he really should just stay there in the bottom of the pool, Bob.
So it's like, especially, like, the speedrunners are like, oh, yeah, he really lost 0.3 seconds there. And it's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like, oh, that guy fell on his ass. Yeah. I could understand that. If you do a belly flop off the diving board, I don't need a shoutcaster for that.
The hyper-specialized. But, I mean, the fun thing about the Olympics or speedrun is that if you watch enough of it, you actually start to internalize it. And, like, you're markedly better at understanding, like, you can tell if you watch gymnastics or diving or something, like, if you watch it for a few hours, like, over the course of, like, every day, over the course of a week, like they do it during the Olympics, you actually get better at it. You're like, oh, yeah, that's a huge mistake. You know, like, as a layperson, it doesn't take all that much time to bring yourself up to speed of, like, oh, the wobble, there was a wobble right there, okay, that guy's out.
Yeah,
you know, like, there's a whole half point off, you know, like, and so I think speedrunning is kind of similar, where it's like, you have to know what to look for, but once you know, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy, it's like, weren't watching those Mario 64 speedruns, like, that guy didn't even long jump there, what's he doing?
Yep.
You know?
Like, I would want to shoutcast the audience, like, that guy's going for a hot dog, Jim, let's see if he puts on, oh, yo, the jalapeno relish, woo!
We're seeing a lot of meme t-shirts out here, George.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the struggle is real. Yeah, I think it would be fun to do that for, like, Spelunky or, like, the Binding of Isaac League Racing.
You know what we should do, then, is we should do, like, a video where one of us plays a game and the other shoutcasts it. And then we'll switch and we'll see, like,
you. But should it be in isolation? Because the players might not be able to hear the announcers.
Yeah. The player could, like, put on headphones or whatever and then just hear what they say. I mean, for me, it'll mostly be me ridiculing you and everything you do.
He should really just turn off the game.
God, what a scrub.
Alt F4, delete all content. Okay. I think maybe we should just leave it there. I'd be interested to hear if anyone has any particularly favorite games and or people that describe games about it. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our shoutcasting booth. Yeah. I think at Evo they have like a desk that's like uncomfortably close to the players.
Oh man, so you can hear.
It's something weird and awkward like that. Yeah, we have a nicer room.
Yeah, where the people commentating on our podcasts, they're doing it. They're doing we just it can't right hear now. Them.
Yeah, exactly. come on by, leave us a review, iTunes and Stitcher.
Speaking of comments.
Exactly.
Jump down into that comment section. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.